From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Whose Battle? The text is 1 Samuel 17 and verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. Let this point be settled, that the battle is the Lord's, and we may be quite sure of the victory. And of the victory in such a way as will best of all display the power of God. The Lord is too much forgotten by all men, yea, even by the assemblies of Israel. And when there is an opportunity to make men see that the great first cause can achieve his purposes without the power of man, it is a priceless occasion which should be well employed. Even Israel looks too much to sword and spear. It is a grand thing to have no sword in the hand of David, and yet for David to know that his God will overthrow a whole army of aliens. If we are indeed contending for truth and righteousness, let us not tarry till we have talent or wealth or any other form of visible power at our disposal. But with such stones as we find in the brook, and with our own usual sling, let us run to meet the enemy. If it were our own battle, we might not be confident. But if we are standing up for Jesus and warring in His strength alone, who can withstand us? Without a trace of hesitancy, let us face the Philistines, for the Lord of hosts is with us, and who can be against us? An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study, prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns. It will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Thank you.
As he proceeds with this study of the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, The Obligation of Christians to Make the Gospel Known in All the World. In verses 13 through 15 of chapter 1 of the epistle, we see something of Paul's heart for preaching the gospel. Having been saved from his sins by the power of Christ, the apostle felt that he had a debt to bring the good news of salvation to as many people as possible. Although much of Romans is devoted to deep theological truth, Paul believed that theology cannot and should not be separated from the gospel. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message, The Obligation of Christians to Make the Gospel Known in All the World.
We return tonight to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we're reading verses 13 through 15 of Romans chapter 1. Paul is reaching the climax of his memorable introductory statement to the Epistle of the Romans. He is just about to launch out into his central theme in this entire epistle, namely, the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, the gospel of justification by free grace through faith alone in Christ alone. And as he does so, the great apostle opens up his own heart for our inspection and lets us see something of the passion that consumes him. This is not the only place in the Epistle to the Romans that Paul does this. This is, by all admission, the most theological of all Paul's epistles. We may, in such a theological writing, expect to find little biography. And we would be dead wrong, because it is in this epistle that the apostle gives us not just some tantalizing details about his active life of service, that will come out as we continue tonight, but he also gives us some insights into the very depths of his being. For example, over in chapter 9 and in verses 1, 2, and 3, he says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I'm not going to try to expound that tonight. There is a tremendous controversy among grammarians and those who are skilled in translation as to whether verse 3, which is, if you want the technicality, an imperfect tense that says, I was wishing, whether that can have the conditional meaning, I could wish, or whether this is speaking of some time in his unconverted days, he was so zealous that he was willing to perish. Matters not to us for the moment. We'll deal with that if and when we live long enough to get to chapter 9. But it does show us the heart that beat within the breast of the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles. But here we have this great burden also for the Jews. He mentions it in the next chapter, chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Here in this most theological of epistles, Paul takes aside the veil and lets us look into his own heart. And in doing so, he actually teaches us deep theology. Here are some powerful examples that teaches that the very deepest theology should never stray from the gospel. I'll tell you what, why students come to hate systematic theology. I'll tell you why they come to wish that theologians had never written their tomes. And it's because those who are teaching the subject have degenerated to such a position that it has become as dead and as dry as dust. And they have got wrapped up in the shroud of theological technicalities. And the fire no longer burns in their heart. When John Calvin wrote his Institutes of the Christian Religion, remember, it was to put back bone into the church in France when it was facing the fires of persecution. He wrote it as an apology for the Protestant Christian faith. It was an evangelistic treatise. That's why it's so full of Christ. A far cry from the dry as dust theological lectures that serve no good purpose but the ego trips of so many so-called theologians who want people to think them wonderful scholars. What does it matter how great a scholar a man establishes himself to be if there is not the heartbeat of the gospel in the theology that he's preaching? All the great theologians, the truly great theologians, whether it's Augustine of Hippo for all his many mistakes, or whether it's John Calvin, or whether it's Martin Luther, or whether even, for all his great mistakes, it's a John Wesley. In them all, you'll find the gospel heartbeat in every one of them. This is what you find in Paul. He's dealing with deep, deep, deep theology. But he will not stray into mere philosophy. He will not stray into dead logic. Oh, there's plenty of spirit-filled logic. But he submerses his soul and his message in the central truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul also shows that the deepest theological truths should never be treated without the most profound emotion. If a teacher of theology, and I know what I'm talking about, I was never a theologian, but it was my lot to teach the subject for many, many years. If a teacher of theology can teach it without his own soul being stirred to profound emotion, he should get any other job under the sun. But he should not defy the office of a teacher in the church. That's a scandal. Paul shows us that profound theology should never lose its vision for the perishing souls of men and women. Here's my heart, says the greatest theologian who ever lived. Here's my heart. And this is what he's showing us here in our text. We're getting a glimpse into the heart of the great apostle as he says, I stand ready to go to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. Now he says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Something of a favorite expression of Paul's when he wants to draw attention to something of particular importance. Just quickly look at chapter 11, 25, and you'll find in one of the deepest chapters in all the Bible, Romans chapter 11, he's speaking of the judicial blindness of the Jews, and he says, I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. I see what he's saying. Here's something of vast importance. By the way, if the Church of Jesus Christ had paid attention to what Paul was saying here, church history would have been very different, and the page of church history would not have been besmirched with the foul deeds of so-called Christians and their anti-Semitic rages as they went on the rampage, murdering, and I use the word advisedly, murdering the so-called Christ slayers of the Jews. History would have been different if they had learned what Paul was saying. I want you to pay attention to this, the relation of Israel and its blindness to the church. Over in 1 Corinthians, he uses the same thing in chapter 10 and in verse 1. I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and so on down. And then we have coming out of that the great warnings we should take the example that many people were in the cloud, but they didn't get into the promised land. Many people were in the cloud, but they became idolaters. And here is a warning. It's a very important warning. In chapter 8, verse 1 of the second epistle of Corinthians, he uses the same. And then over in 1 Thessalonians 4, you've got the best known of all in verse 13. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. So this is a favorite expression of the Apostle Paul's when he's wanting to draw attention to something of particular importance. And here in Romans 1, he's using this expression because he wants to impress upon these people that not only did he desire, as he has already said, to go to preach in Rome, but he had actually formed the purpose and he had made the plans to go. I purposed to go. I had my mind made up on going. In other words, he's saying, I want you to understand this. To Paul, it was important that they would grasp it. And I think as I go on, you'll see why it was so important. Because on the face of it, this really doesn't fit in with what Paul writes in other places. This little statement, I would not have you ignorant, in every other case, it is linked to some great theological revelation, something of great importance. Here it seems to be linked with Paul simply saying, I had purpose to go to Rome. Well, that's true. But when you dig a little deeper and think, why does Paul use this? Why is it so important for these people to understand that for years he had been purposing to go to the city of Rome to preach the gospel? Well, put the statement in its context, and I think you'll see that there is a great theological revelation. I want you to follow it, because I think that very often the best of commentators miss this. I've read what other people say in the passage, and it is amazing how they jump about, because it is quite obvious that in most cases they miss the thread that joins it all together. How Paul is arriving at this great statement. Why is this in here? It's not incongruous. It is a theological revelation, and if I could sum it up, Paul is saying to these people, why is it important that you understand that I have been consumed with a purpose to visit Rome? Well, here it is. If I believe the gospel, then that gospel demands that I do everything in my power to make it known to people of every nation and of every class, including those in Rome. If I believe what I have been saying, if I believe the gospel, then I must preach the gospel. I must be on the stretch to get that gospel out. Now let's stop there. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to get this. So let's stop and not make the mistake of just rushing over what he says, I want you to get. When he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, he's saying, pay particular attention. Get it into your head. Let it sink down into your ears, to use the words of Christ. Let it get a grip of your heart and your will. Now notice the soul-stirring declarations of the apostle. He says, I have for a long time desired and purposed to preach the gospel in Rome. Over in chapter 15, verse 23, he says, I have had a great desire these many years to come unto you. This was not something of a day outing for the apostle. This was not a little vacation from his work. This was Paul looking to go to the hardest sphere of service that he could enter into. However, he says, I have so far been hindered. As he says in 15:22, much hindered from coming unto you. But I press on, preaching where I'm able, to whomsoever I can. And I do so because I feel an obligation. I am debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians. I feel an obligation to carry the gospel to all men. And for that reason, I am eagerly desirous, I'm ready to preach the gospel in Rome and gather fruit there for the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.